Yeah, we are wishing it was the 4th of July, Joey. Thank you. Especially after the last couple days. Maybe it'll get warmer by this Saturday. Brian Noonan in for Rokan and Anna DeFlantes. They are in Mexico, of course, and they will be back on Monday. But it's 6 o'clock, and that means things must stay the same. Mark Sapelsa joins me. Hi, Mark. How
Hi,
are
Brian.
You?
Everything good?
Everything is wonderful. Just we all survived yesterday despite the grim warnings from Tom and every other weather forecaster that we were going to be inundated with horrible snow. We all survived.
It was a tough commute a couple of different times because
yes.
It just happened to be that lake effect where it looks like a snow globe.
Mm-hmm.
Difficult to drive in, even though your front yard might have only had 5-6 inches, whatever.
Right.
There was 13 or 14 up in Waukegan, but yeah, it was that driving stuff that was difficult.
Yeah, and it would be beautiful and sunny, and then the next minute, there'd be, like you said, it was like you were in a snow globe. It came out of nowhere, and then it would disappear just as quickly and come back. It was crazy.
Yeah.
One of your colleagues over there in the morning, not too good on travel time, I guess.
Yeah.
Underestimated how long it was going to take him to get to work. Larry slept in a little bit.
I think you're right.
That was quite an impression to everybody else who was up and on time. They were like, oh, and we looked to Larry to set such a good example.
Hello.
Yeah, not too good. Not too good. I've got to ask, if you don't mind, because we had a story in the top 5 at 5 about a Republican senator confronting a CNN reporter. And the CNN reporter was very polite and just asked a question. And the senator's response was just screaming at him to be polite, be respectful, be respectful. Have you noticed lately that journalists are we all know that journalists are scorned by the administration. Are you finding that it's becoming more acceptable for public figures to kind of blow off journalists, not answer your questions, chastise you because you dare to ask them questions and tell you to be polite and respectful?
Well, I haven't personally witnessed that. I'm sure there's, based on what has happened with the way the president has handled some of the media that he has found distasteful, there may be some sort of precedent being set in that regard. But, you know, I think to a certain degree, I think reporters should sort of step back and say to themselves, you know, kind of like, don't whine. Don't kick and scream.
Right.
Just do your job. And if they give you any blowback, that's part of the business, I suppose. I think in this day and age right now, there's no question that tempers are a little bit frayed on all sides of the political spectrum.
Sure.
And sometimes stuck in the middle is the media. And, you know, the fact that you've got the president, the administration, inviting to some of these news conferences, some of the fringe outfits like Breitbart and what have you, whereas they perhaps weren't in the media scrum in the beginning. I think it's given voice to a lot of different ranges of the political spectrum, even the media spectrum. And that's a good thing. Bring them all in.
Let everybody judge.
Yep. Let's let everybody ask questions and speak. I would hope that nobody would be yelling at us or trying to tamp us down because we're asking a tough question. But if they do, okay, so what? You're a big boy, you're a big girl. Pull up your pants and just ask again.
Well, that's it. I mean, it didn't see the reporter wasn't complaining about it. I was just wondering if it seems that the environment is getting and I think we all know the answer. It's getting harder for reporters to do their jobs. Only because, I mean, there's always a little bit of antagonism at some point, you know, when people don't want to answer questions and it's your job to ask them. But it seems now it's becoming more acceptable for public figures to just say, oh, I'm not talking to you.
Well, there's no question that there is those frayed tempers or, like you said, an air of antagonism. When you see, for example, the New York Times for the first time in 10 years, produce an ad during the Academy Awards or the Super Bowl, whatever it was, and you haven't seen that in a long, long time. Where the Washington Post changed its slogan along the lines of search out the truth and keep searching out the truth, so that probably plays to part of it, and I think maybe that's some of the owners or the management types at those newspapers saying don't back down, just keep asking questions.
There were some new numbers came out today. The Paul Simon Public Policy Institute down at SIU.
Not so good, huh?
No, not the governor. Man, oh, man. It's his job approval rating has plummeted.
the governor and Mike Madigan.
Yep.
Probably the two people that the public understands is responsible for the standoff right there.
Yeah.
And you know, it's difficult to say which one is right, which one is wrong. Maybe they're a little bit of both in each of their respective positions, but people are falling into the wake of these two men, and sometimes not in a very good way. You know, whether it be social services, universities, college students, professors, you name it, anything that's being funded by the state that hasn't gotten the money that they have right. typically gotten. You know what? If you're going to go to the if you're going to be called up by the you know, the Paul Simon Southern Illinois University pollsters, you're going to probably say this stinks. And I don't know who to blame, but I'll point at those two, and that's probably what happened.
And it was dismal. 58% of the people surveyed disapproved of the governor's job performance, and 61% disapproved of Mike Madigan's performance. Now, Madigan only has to win his ward in the next election. The governor has to win statewide. We already know Chris Kennedy is running on the Democratic side. There's word that J.B. Pritzker yep. might run. This has got to, despite the fact
Poir,
that...
Amaya Poar, the Chicago City Council member, also running. Yeah.
And so the governor, even though he has very deep pockets, is probably girding his loins for another very, very costly run.
It could be. Yeah, it could very well be. I mean, I do believe, just as you said, I think he's in it for the long haul. You know, I think he's... He is on a quest. When you take a look at what Mitch Daniels did in Indiana, mm-hmm. you take a look at what Scott Walker did in Wisconsin, I think Governor Rauner has looked at both of them and been advised by both of them how to go about his business here in the state of Illinois. And, you know, I go back, Brian, to the first day that we opened up the newspaper and heard that a guy by the name of Bruce Rauner was going to put his hat into the ring. I called our 5 o'clock producer and said, hey, let's get him on for his first TV interview. And pat us on the back. We got him for the first interview at 5 o'clock. And my first question was, okay, congratulations. How are you going to deal with Mike Madigan?
Yeah. And what did he say? Do you remember what he said?
You know, I still have it on tape. I posted it on Facebook. I could look at it again to review the exact words. But he basically gave the political answer, we'll just do the best we possibly can to work with all the people. And I'm not here to, you know, combat anyone in particular, right. blah, blah, blah. I do think he had no idea what he was getting into.
That's a fair assessment, because I don't see a scenario where Mike Madigan does not win again and end up back in Springfield. That I don't know if that can be said for the governor as well.
Right. It could be a tough race. You may see some Republicans come out at some point. They're probably going to do it right now. Mm-hmm. But maybe they'll come out and try and challenge him as well. You know, I mean, I think they're – remember, this is a red state with a blue city.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? We
yeah.
are technically a blue state, but we're not. I think population-wise, we would technically be called a blue state because there are more people in the Chicago city of Chicago or maybe the Chicago area that might lean blue or are blue. But you've got red staters down there that would like to see something happen with Mike Madigan and the way the Democrats run this state and have run this state for years. So it's tough to say. I mean, they both have low poll numbers right now, but maybe Governor Rauner is going to pull something out of his hat that would lead to some sort of compromise that might turn those instantly, quickly. Who knows?
Yeah, you never know. But I think no matter what party you're in, if you live in Illinois, you know things are broken.
Yep.
And you're looking, as you said at the beginning, there's two guys that we look
That's
at,
right.
and these are the two guys to blame. So no matter what side of the aisle you're on, you got to try to figure out one or both. Either have to go, or there's got to be some change to get them working together.
There's probably a Trota bums out for yeah. both of them on both sides of the aisle to a certain degree.
Yeah.
But there are some that are saying, you know what, go for it, Governor Rauner. You've got to, you know, get that grand bargain to change the way the system runs. And then you've got union folks on the other side saying, Mike Madigan, please protect me. I don't want this guy to break my union.
Exactly. What's on the big broadcast tonight?
You know, we're going to have an update on one of my stories. WGN Investigates. Senator Dick Durbin came out with a letter just about an hour and a half ago that talked about railroad heists in the Chicago area and the
oh,
city
wow.
of Chicago. What we did is report last January that one of the biggest things that was stolen, one of the scariest things stolen from freight trains in Chicago when they park overnight, let's say they're going cross country from east to west, west to east, whatever,
okay.
they park on the tracks here in Chicago, maybe wait for new freight to come on or wait for a shift change or wait for what have you. And it's kind of easy for thieves to jump on those cars, break them with a bolt cutter, and what we found is multiple guns have been stolen.
Oh.
And that's the worst thing in the city of Chicago that should be stolen.
Yeah.
And on the streets of Chicago. So we'll update that tonight, tell you what Senator said at 9 o'clock.
Wow. Well, that sounds very interesting, and something that a lot of people are not didn't know what was happening, me included.
It's in the the darkness of backyards in the middle of the night, and oftentimes they're not being protected properly, and that's what the senator's talking about, and that's what we've tried to point out in January.
All right, well, we will be watching. Mark, thanks. Always great to talk
to
you.
Brian.
Talk to you soon.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. That's Mark Sapelso. Watch him every night on WGN TV News.